Blog Talk Radio.
They see me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to get me riding dirty.
That's Ginger, her ATV. Catch her ride dirty, all you. Oh, I'm sorry. Motorcycle. It's no longer an ATV. It's a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. All the rest of us are on foot in our poor little horses. Me and Sally made Jake horse.
Such a show off. Gosh. Anyway, hi, everybody. It is February 10th, 2011, and you are listening to Gamer Girls Radio. We are the award-winning, longest-running gaming podcast on iTunes. That's right, bitches. We can officially say we are award-winning. Ha-ha. Woot, woot. I am Snow White. Yes, I know. I'm here. And I have one thing to say to all of you. Stop putting in duplicate orders for the old Betsy. It's annoying. Okay. Also, there's Corey/Gaminatrix up in the hill. Hello, ma'am.
That's right. I'm repping for Embry Commonwealth.
Throw up your gang sign.
Throw up your ETH. What is it? EW?
Side.
And I'm trying to do it is the bad part.
Oh, man, I can do it. Oh, yeah.
Embry Commonwealth up in his peace. No, let me stop. Oh, no. See, y'all are a bad influence on me. Yeah. Hi.
We also have our token male up in the hizzle also, who's very tired of being called a lady. So it is not just the ladies of DGR. It's ladies plus the token slave boy. Hi, Master
Blaster.
That's
so much better.
Ladies
know,
plus
isn't it better?
One. It is better. I think so. I don't want to be mistaken for a lady. I have
so
a
you
deep,
don't mind being the slave boy?
Very,
awesome.
I have a deep, very sensual voice, and I'd like to be appreciated for it. That's
yes,
all.
You were being appreciated for it yesterday. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yes, you were, very much so.
Can I say I appeal to all kinds of people, and apparently all genders.
You do. It's amazing. I'm impressed.
Work it out, Blaster. Work it out.
Work it out. Didn't we have something you wanted to talk about, Miss Corey?
If I weren't muted, yes. All day. I did this all morning. I'm sorry. Well, as you know, we have our random topics on the show. There's no front lines this week because whenever we have, you know, powerhouse females on the show at any point in time during the week, aside from ourselves, that is, we usually count that as a front line. So go back and listen to yesterday. We had Marie Crawl. I keep screwing up her name. She's going to cut me.
Yes,
from Fallen Earth. And, of course, you guys know we're having that lovely event starting tomorrow night. And we are in-game later on giving away some full copies. So if you don't have Fallen Earth and you want to know why we are spending so much time talking about it or what the hell we're talking about, come in. Get you a trial account and then come in and win a full one.
And some of us are in game right now.
Yeah. And I would like to point out to you, grown-up gamers, it is a grown-up game. It is rated M, so it's highly improbable that you'll run across any kids. And some of us like that. We like a nice environment, you know.
And if you do run across a kid, it probably isn't a kid. It's just somebody who has a mentality of one. So let them slide.
I don't know about letting them slide, but okay. So many things went on in gaming this week, and of course in the morning our job is to cover the news and quickly, and then Thursday nights is for us to rant and rave about it. So, of course, there's some big things that happened in the news this week. We lost our Guitar Hero franchise, boo-hoo.
I'm not sad about that.
I am. I'm very sorry that I lost all those guitars I have in there is what I'm sad about. However, I am no fool. I will be hanging on to all my Guitar Heroes and those guitars because in a few years, cha-ching! So, somebody's going to be buying that from me on eBay, paying for my new car. Work it out. The biggest thing, of course, that's going on in gaming this week, or it should be the biggest thing to you, is this Dr. Carol Lieberman chick and her attack on Bulletstorm. And if you're not aware,
everybody knows you never go full retard.
Yes.
Yes, I think that applied. I think she did, actually. I think she passed.
She passed.
And she went straight to full.
Oh, gosh. She if you're not familiar with what's going on, you don't get to listen to us in the mornings, and you're already listening live, you're like, I can't go listen now. Well, Ms. Lieberman is basically saying the increase in rapes, I'm quoting her verbatim, can be attributed in large part to the playing out of sexual scenes in video games. Really, Carol?
You're an inspiration for birth control.
Yes, she is.
Every week, there's somebody who is saying something stupid like this. A couple of weeks ago, it was Dr. Wallet Fars, who said that there was a link between Modern Warfare 2 and the recent Moscow airport bombing. So, while I'm pausing dramatically, let me ask you two, before I comment on what's being said in the room. Oh, let me say hello to Horace. Where the hell you been? Let's start with Blaster, because he's already angry, as he's been saying before the show. How do you feel about Ms. Lieberman's comments?
Well, I got a chance to check out Ms. Lieberman's comments today. They were all over some of our favorite news sites, including Kotaku. And actually, what happened is I think she got on a cable news network that shall remain nameless and made a lot of these statements. And then she tried to do a little backtracking the following day and try to clarify a little bit more what she was saying. I was thinking about this a lot today, actually, especially on the drive home from work. One of the things that I thought about is what makes, I think, gamers angry when people come and say dumb things like this is because, you know, that's not just attacking a hobby that we do. A lot of gamers, you know, are in the positions there are. Like, for instance, me, I work at this company I work at because I got interested in video games very early, and I learned about technology through video games. And so, you know, that's almost like attacking my livelihood. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like attacking, like, who I am as a person and what made me successful where I am today. And that's like somebody coming to your house and saying, you know, everything you've been told is a lie, everything you've worked for your life is worthless, and you know, you're just a serial killer waiting to happen. If somebody came to you and told you all that kind of stuff, wouldn't that really piss you off? If somebody just came and accused you of that? That's what I feel like when people make these kind of statements about video games. I think that's really why us as gamers get pissed off about it, because it really is. Video games have, you know, trained us to be, you know, first off, to be technologically savvy, to be able to micromanage effectively, to handle pressure, to deal in complex social situations. I mean, all these things we learn from video games, and they made us who we are today. And that's like somebody coming and attacking who you are as a person. And so that's what pisses me off the most about what she said, is because I feel like it's a personal attack on me as an individual.
Okay, what about you, Snow?
Blaster actually put it pretty well. I mean, I learned most of my personality traits from being a gamer. I mean, I learned not the bad ones, by the way. Those I got all on my own. I'm talking about the good ones. I'm talking about the... I'm talking about the ones like being... What's the word? Understanding of different cultures. Like playing online games, playing MMOs. I have been exposed to so many different cultures and so many different people. It's ridiculous. And, you know, you become more understanding of the cultures. You become more open to new things than you would if you were just in your own small little bubble and there was nothing there. You know, hand-eye coordination, yes, actually, I did get better hand-eye coordination because of that. Problem-solving skills, yes, because RPGs have massive problem-solving skills. Reflex time, yes, because first-person shooters, you have to have good reflexes. You have to be able to anticipate what's going to go on. You have to be able to react very, very quickly, or you know you're going to get your head blown off. There's so many different things you can learn from games. There's so many different skills that you can acquire or that you can hone by playing these games. But all that people like Ms. Lieberman can focus on is what she perceives as negative. And my question to her would be, have you ever actually sat down and played a game, not just for like 2 minutes, but sat down and played a game and actually thought about what could possibly come from this other than what you already assume is there? Because people are always afraid of new stuff, and they never want to try new things. And for her, video games is new. So she's afraid of it. She doesn't see that it can be anything good because she's so fucking closed-minded. And that's annoying. And I'm ranting again, and I'm going to calm down.
Well, one of the things I have to say is that, you know, this is one thing she said. She said, the more video games a person plays, is a quotation, that have violent sexual content, the more likely one is to become desensitized to violent sexual acts and commit them. Again, we have a person here that is taking us as complex individuals who make decisions based upon, you know, a variety of stimulus, our backgrounds, our genetic code. I mean, all these things go play into what you as a person, what goes into how you make decisions as a person, right? These are all parts of you. And she tries to simplify all of that and say it is one type of input that causes you to be a certain way. And that's just dumb. That's like
it
saying,
really is.
That's like saying because I read about violent acts in newspapers, I become desensitized by them and I'm more likely to commit them. I read a story today about, in fact, in my town, close to where I live, a man just robbed a bank today. Right, because I read that story on the internet, I am now desensitized to violence and more likely to go out and commit a robbery. Because that's saying that exact same thing. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't hold water. I don't understand why people think that we are such, you know, I mean, I guess it's just gamers because they seem to attack gamers more than anybody else. Why us gamers are so stupid, right? That if we, you know, because we engage in one type of activity, that we're going to commit that activity in real life in a video game. That's just dumb. That's like treating us no better than mindless robots who just take input and immediately act upon it.
Input. Okay. I had to break the tension there because everybody's getting really, really serious. So a little short circuit quote for you. But anyway, I wanted to also say that if you wanted to speak more, to her level or what she would think is her level, talk about books. Okay, there are some classic books that are hardcore violent. Okay, Romeo and Juliet, for example. I love Shakespeare, by the way. Totally love it. But in Romeo and Juliet, you have young lovers, underage lovers. You have multiple murders, suicide. Okay, parents hitting their child because Juliet got smacked. Okay, so what are you saying, that if they read Romeo and Juliet, they're going to become desensitized to all of this, and they're going to be more likely to do that in their daily lives? Okay,
yes,
if
there,
you,
that,
you think
that
about
promotes,
it, it's that, the same thing. It's the same thing.
That promotes teen violence. That's what happened to Chris Brown and Rihanna. He read Romeo and Juliet and decided he was going to smack. Well, lady, please.
Right. Well, another thing she said is that video games have increasingly and more brazenly connected sex and violence and images, actions, and words. This has the psychological impact of doubling the excitement, stimulation, and incitement to copycat acts. I mean, has this lady, she says that video games have increasingly and more brazenly connected sex and violence. I don't know if she's familiar with the term grindhouse. Are you guys familiar with that?
I know I am, yeah.
Okay, so grindhouse movies have, ever since motion pictures have come into being, there's a thing called grindhouse, and it's basically where these directors have, outside of Hollywood, created movies that exploit different aspects of violence or sex, okay, and they sell these grindhouse movies. This has been going on since the 1930s or 40s, right? So my question to this lady is, how can she say that video games more brazenly do these activities when if you watch some of those grindhouse movies, I mean, they wouldn't even be allowed in movie theaters under the title of R. These would have to go in under NC-17 or something even worse. Right, so I don't understand why she's picking on one media and saying this media is responsible for all of these dangerous activities, a media that hasn't been around for, you know, longer than, what is it now, 25 years, right? And she, but here are these other medias that have been around for way longer than that and have been way more violent, and saying, she's not saying that movies are responsible, she's saying video games are responsible. That
makes no
sense.
Again, it's because it's something that she doesn't understand. It's it's something that's new to her, that's foreign, and she needs a scapegoat. And since everyone else is blaming this, why not her too? And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, there will be another medium that comes out soon that will be blamed for society's problems. Okay, because at first it was music, and then it was movies. Books were also in there somewhere. Okay, and then TV shows. Okay, newspapers, magazines, and now it's games. Oh, and did I say music? I think I did. But anyway, soon there will be another medium that comes out that will be blamed for society's problems instead of trying to look at the root of the problem, you know, trying to figure out exactly what's going on instead of blaming something that was a direct connection of what happened in society. Like, this came to be because of how society already was. it did not call society to be like it was.
You know what? Here is the honest to God's truth of why I think this keeps happening. Two reasons. You have a lot of people in the government who are just flat out wrong. Wrong in everything they do every day. For instance, the guy that had to quit the other day because he was sending naked photos to his online girlfriend. And he had to quit office. A lot of them are doing stuff wrong, including taking your money, including increasing taxes, and to smoke and mirrors. Let's go after who we perceive to be weak, and gamers are perceived to be weak because they keep associating the gaming industry with children. A newsflash to the government out there, we are not children. Not all of us are children. And we are not stupid. We are the farthest thing from stupid. We are so far from stupid, we make you look stupid even with all your degrees. Even us without degrees make you look stupid on our worst day. So that is pretty much what's going on. Let's try to smoke and mirrors. Let's keep the parents' eyes off the fact that we're trying to get them to give us more money for whatever reason that we need it, or so we can send naked pictures to our girlfriends. That's what we want to do. So we'll pick on these video game people. Nobody cares.
Absolutely.
Nobody cares
Absolutely.
About them. And the stupidity comes into place because they do not realize how large the gaming community is, and again, how not stupid we are, how very organized we are, amazingly enough. It doesn't come across as such. And Ms. Lieberman is saying how she was she's received hate mail, and this proves that you know the video game people are violent. No, it proves that there are some idiots in the community, the same as there's idiots in every community, and they don't speak for all of us, fortunately.
Okay. Hate mail is not indicative of anything. Every single person who's outspoken like that against something gets hate mail. It is not just the gamer community. So her trying to pigeonhole us into that particular category is ridiculous, because I am absolutely sure that if she were to speak out against something else, she would get hate mail from that group too.
Yeah, one of the comments on Game Politics down at the bottom is saying the same thing. If you put out a book against people at PETA, they'd send you, the people that love you,
yes,
that would send you hate mail. It just happens. It has nothing to do with...
Put out a book against Christianity, you'll get hate mail. Put out a book against Buddhism, you'll get hate mail. Put out a book against anything, you'll get hate mail, because it just happens. People, there are going to be stupid people in every single group. It does not mean that everybody in that group is like that.
And she is also indicative of stupid people in every
That's
group.
Right.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
If you fail to hand out little pink rocket launchers fast enough, you will get hate mail.
And we did get hate mail. And bitches, I am working on it, okay, right now. As we're talking.
And we didn't take it personal. We know people just wanted their rocket launchers, just as we know that some people, Ms. Lieberman, are just crazy. It has nothing to do with the games that they play or what they were looking at on TV last week. They were going to do whatever they were going to do because they were going to do it. They are not sane. And if you don't understand that, perhaps we should be checking your sanity. Ugh. So, you can...
You know what? This whole thing kind of... It got me upset. And it actually got me thinking, though, about that, about exactly what you said, is that, you know, we are... I think we are picked on because we are perceived as a weak group. We are perceived as a bunch of, you know, 12-year-old prepubescent boys, right? I mean, that's how the video game industry sees us. That's how a lot of game developers treat us. But I think that there are a lot of gamers out there that have families, have kids, you know, have 9-to-5 jobs, right? And that are very responsible adults. And I think that the sooner we realize that, the sooner people are going to stop picking on us as a group, because they're going to realize they can't get away with that crap. And it really is annoying. I'm sorry. This kind of just irked me. It usually doesn't bother me, but this one just really irked me for some reason.
Okay. Irking, you're being nice.
Yeah, it's pissing me off is what it's doing.
You can... check this article out. It is over on foxnews.com, and the title of the article is Bulletstorm, the worst video game in the world. Of course it is this week.
Yeah, next week there'll be a new one.
Next week they'll be hating something else.
I plan on buying Bulletstorm. I plan on enjoying it thoroughly, and Mrs. Lieberman, you can kiss my ass because of it.
No, it's entire ass. Make sure you put entire in there. Now, the interest, there are some interesting...
Damn, bitches. Sorry.
There are
sorry,
some interesting things that she's saying that I do agree with, although the ESA is probably going to cut me, is instituting some type of penalty or ban on games sold to violent video games that are sold to kids. But I'm going to go so far as to say I think it should be the parents. I've said this before. When you go in to buy a game, they should have it should be registered to you. You should have to show your ID, and it's attached to your ID some kind of way. I don't care how it's done, whether you have to buy a gamer card or something that shows that you know, this is your game. And if it falls into the hands of a kid and they're in your family, I think that person should take responsibility, not the developers, because they didn't give it to the kid. Somebody, mm-hmm. some adult gave it to this kid to play. So that's what I'm agreeing with. The rest of this crap that she's talking about is ridiculous.
No, but it's okay. I'm going to jump in again. She is totally contradicting herself. She's saying that it's the parents' fault for letting the kid have the game, but then she's going to turn around and say that games are bad. No, it's the person who is letting the child play the game. They're bad. The game itself is not bad. It's like the saying, guns don't kill people, people kill people. If a gun is sitting on a desk, unloaded, it's not going to do shit. Okay, but if a person picks it up, loads it, points it at somebody, and pulls the trigger, it's going to kill someone. It's just like that. If you give a violent game like Doom, okay, Doom 3, and you let a child who is like 2, 3, or 4 play it or watch you play it, that could cause issues, yes. Okay, but it doesn't mean that the game itself is bad. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Now, you know, the first question I wish that Fox or anybody who's interviewing these so-called experts would ask them, and it should completely invalidate anything they have to say after this. Have you played this game? Have you played any game? And if the answer says, no, okay, next interviewer.
Because, or, oh, I played it for a little bit. No.
No. I keep reading these articles and seeing that most of the time, these people haven't played any games. You can tell by their comments. They're not referring to anything specific in the game, which tells me they haven't seen it. Even her comments are geared towards the description from what's on the package for the, from the rating that she's saying doesn't work. You stopped to read it, so apparently it does work.
Right?
It does work. You know exactly where to look. So it's not that it doesn't work. There is a warning. And if you're going to condemn something, you should have at least played it. Even the scientists lately that keep coming up with all these studies, again, some of the best scientists are the ones that experimented on themselves. So if you're going to do studies and experiments, why don't you sit down and you play the game yourself and record your own moods? Do you feel more violent when you get up every time when you play a game? Do you feel more violent when you play every game? If you get up from playing Bejeweled, do you feel like killing somebody? Do you feel like bashing somebody in the head? Do you feel like stealing jewelry? I mean, just, you know, because some of the stuff they come up with, the correlations are just idiotic. The people were playing games for 20 hours and they got up and they felt angry. Which game? And what time of the day was it? Had they eaten? Did they just get in a fight?
Did they argue with somebody they were playing with? Was it a co-op game and they had someone shouting obscenities at them?
Yes, none of this is, I never see this in any studies. So how can we again determine they were playing this and they're angry? What?
You know how many people have gone in and shot up their previous places of employment because they got fired? You know how many people have committed suicide because they lost a big account or lost a job? I mean, to be honest with you, I think and jobs are more dangerous than video games. I think people that have jobs are more dangerous. Maybe we should start outlawing that. I mean, I think that kind of stuff has killed more people than video games have. I think this is just, this whole conversation, I don't know why they're picking up video games. I just don't understand it. I mean, yeah, the theory, you know, like I said, you've theorized it's because we're seen as weak or people like, you know, a group that can't fight back. But there's some sort of deep-seated hatred of video games, and I just don't understand it. I really don't. I don't know where these people come from. I don't know why they feel
it's
like
money.
They have to do it.
It's money. The root of it is money. And the other point I left out, not just the smoke and mirrors of trying to direct the taxpayers to some other thing, it's that you have a ton of people that are looking at the gaming industry, and not to get on anybody older, because not everybody older has this thought processes where they can't keep up the technology, but if you can't keep up with something, let's say you are a greedy old bastard, and you're looking at the gaming industry and the billions of dollars that it makes, and you can't figure out how the hell to get involved in it, what are you going to do? Attack it. I don't know how to play video games, and it's too complicated for me to sit down and figure it out. I don't know how to learn how to code or make software or iPhone apps that, you know, that are games. I don't know how to do that. So the only thing I can do is condemn it and tell them, you know, and eventually at some point say, you know, we'll go ahead and let you make these games, but you're going to have to pay us a little bit of money. You're going to have to go ahead and kick us a little under the table. That's what it boils down to. They're not getting anything out of it. They're not getting any money, so they're trying desperately to get in. And the thing is, as we have told you all before, that are not gamers, we are legion and we are many. You're not getting in here. You're going to have to earn your way in. Pick up a controller and start learning how to play. Learn how to code and make your own money. Stop trying to take ours. Bastard.
Rawr, bitches.
Yes!
You will take my controller when you pry it from my cold, dead hands. It's not happening. Okay, so we're going to move on from this story because we're beating a dead horse at this point.
I'd like to, never mind.
Go ahead.
What?
You want
to? I was going to say I'd like to beat her, but.
Oh, yeah, but she'll say that just.
Oh, that's so violent, though. See,
I know.
There you
I must
go.
Have learned that in video games.
I like I said, I think that reaction is very normal. It's like somebody walking up, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. Somebody walking up to, you know, your great-grandfather who worked all his life to feed his family and stuff and saying, like, you know, oh, you know, hey, everything you do is wrong. You know, you just, what you're doing is wrong. All the things you hold dear are wrong. You're just a bad person, you know. Do you think your grandfather would have punched her lights out for saying that to him? I mean, that's
yes.
what I'm saying. It's like that would make anybody angry. Yeah, it's violent or whatever. But you come up to anybody and you insult them like that, they're going to get violent. I'm sorry, but that's just human nature.
Yeah, and it is a personal attack to a lot of gamers because they really love, and not say we don't love our games, and that's why we do what we do here. We're very passionate about it. And on the flip side, a horrible, horrible story that came out day before yesterday that we talked about this morning, which is probably Ms. Lieberman is going to view as some type of fuel for her. But in all honesty,
water for her fire, great.
Yeah, you know, it's gonna. I'm gonna point this back at her and ask her where the hell was she when this was happening. Some disgusting old man, 54 years of age, married a 13-year-old girl in RuneScape and decided to consummate this marriage. For real.
Ew.
Remember I was talking to you guys about this last night. Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
And this didn't happen once. It happened 3 times. So I would ask Ms. Lieberman, instead of jumping on to us about these games, why don't you start getting with the government and figuring out a way to help the games police some of this type of behavior so that we don't have old men picking up little girls and nobody knew anything about it. And then why don't you also institute some kind of something against the parents? Where were they? How exactly is it that a 54-year-old man had sex with a 13-year-old girl 3 times and her parents had no idea what was going on? Where were the parents?
And I also want to point out for Ms. Lieberman before she starts saying, oh, it's all the game's fault. No, this kind of thing was going on before games came out, okay? And this kind of thing was going on before internet came out, okay? So this is not something that is solely that just happened, that just came about whenever games started being played online. So please don't try to say that because that is complete bullshit.
Well,
if you want, I will go find cases from 100 years back of this shit going on.
Here is the thing. If they would stop wasting time creating these fake-ass studies and actually sit down and start working with the industry on ways to keep this type of thing from happening, and again, it's not their job. It's not even, but they feel it's their job to be, let me get ghetto for a minute, all up in our business about shit that don't have anything to do with anything, then you need to be trying to do something positive. Why was it that you guys are not trying to put something into place where parents, at least help parents? You're not helping them by telling them this is bad. You should be pointing out to them, you know, this game could possibly, we don't have any direct correlation, but we think it might be a bad for your kid. We're going to help the ESRB. Post this up and say this is dangerous. We're going to tell you that when your kid is playing RuneScape, that it is not rated by the ESRB because they can't control that content because there's other people there, which means your child is in possible danger playing. And you need to take the computer out of their room and put it in the front room and watch them play and make sure they're not speaking to anybody that they shouldn't be speaking to. This is what they're doing. You're not informing parents of shit. All you're doing is scaring them. So when they run out and do something stupid, like you're accusing these gamers of being, and burn down a gaming store and kill everybody inside, you can be like, oh, well, that's not what I meant. Really? Because that's what you're doing. You're scaring the parents, and some of the parents are not wrapped too tight, and they're going to do something stupid like this. And people are going to lose their lives because of it.
Yep.
And Horace is in the room saying he blames Facebook. You know, the story doesn't say Facebook is even involved at all. But I wouldn't say that it had nothing to do with Facebook. It's quite a possibility that they were, you know, friends on Facebook. But again, I go back to parents. Parents, stop looking at the government. All they want to do is scare you, and it has nothing to do with the fact that they're trying to help you at all. They're not. They don't care about you. They don't care about your kid. If they did, then this guy, this 54-year-old guy right now, would be castrated, and that's how serious I am about that. These fucking child molesters would be castrated. He'd be strung up in front of TV and said, this is what we do to you for touching our kids. Sorry. So you...
No, not even a sorry. This is just what we do.
Yeah. So I don't think you need to be focusing on scaring parents about, well, this game is causing violent behavior. No. The game didn't cause this to happen. It was a parent that wasn't paying attention. And maybe they didn't know what was going on. But if the government's going to be stepping in on one hand, you need to step in on another front and say, parents, this is already in place. The ESRB is already there, and they're saying, well, it doesn't work. I agree with you on one hand. The ESRB is not pushing things as hard as they should be. They're just not. But at the same time, if you feel like they're not, then you need to step in and help them, not scare the parents because you want the money. Tell the parents what they need to know. The ESRB is there. The ratings are in place. Watch your kids online, so on and so forth. Go down this checklist. Make sure your kids are not doing this. Know where they are. With the technology that we have, it's ridiculous that the government is focused on this one thing and they're not helping parents. You have, what do we have we were talking about a couple of weeks ago? Cell phones with GPS in them. Mm-hmm. Now, the companies are offering this as part of your plan. You give little Sally Mae her phone and you say, sure, go out and hang with your friends. Where are you going to be? You're going to be at 7-Eleven? And later on, you check Shana at 7-Eleven, you roll down there, and wherever she is, because you'll know, and you smack her upside the head. Stop telling the parents not to smack the kids. I didn't say beat them bloody. I said spank. I got spanking, and I'm telling you, I have a nice
There was that violence again, you damn video game player.
Well, yeah, because my mom was playing the hell out of some games.
Right? Mine was, too. And
all that
Pac-Man.
Like, all that Pac-Man just made her evil.
You're going to die for that.
Okay, you know what? These people are making up some fake names to get keys.
Yeah. People that are trying to get to Fall North Keys, fake names are not going to help you. We are tracking you in many, many different ways.
We're watching you. Yep. We know where you live.
We're geeky just like you, so trust me, we're tracking
yeah,
you.
Yeah, dude, this shit ain't working.
As Horace is in the chat room saying, I trust you, Sally. Activate GPS. Go ahead and go and play. You know, in all honesty, I think, as my mom used to tell me, I trust you, but I'll verify. It's a kid. We all know we all went through it. The hormones are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You have no sense of logic or reason. One minute you are, you know, fine, and the next minute it's, oh my God, Billy does not love me anymore. I'm going to fling myself off of the top of the stairs. It's just, that's just what the hormones do to you. It's hard becoming an adult. But instead of trying to scare parents about it happening, start giving them the tools to parent properly. Scaring them is not going to work. You're going to create a situation like what we just had happen in Arizona. That guy that killed those people did that because he was listening to crazy politicians who were saying, we need to fight. This is a war. These liberals, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no. But see, if you listen to people like Ms. Lieberman, she says specifically that I bet you that guy was a violent video game player.
Oh, of course. They've been trying to link him to it. They have been trying very hard. I want to say they threw GTA in there, and I was laughing when I saw that. Really, GTA? If he's a gamer, he's not even playing GTA anymore unless he's me. You know, gamers are very much like the rest of pop culture. This is what's in this week. GTA is 4 years ago. We don't play that anymore. So,
well,
hilarious.
Yes. Well, I actually have something that I brought to the table today to discuss.
Oh, wait.
I know. It's so shocking. Well, I was I got something else that kind of got under my skin today. I was busy doing some work today, and I thought I'd take a break and read a few video game articles. And I had read an article about an IGN employee who had got a chance to play Duke Nukem Forever. And as we've had conversations on this show about how, you know, Corey, I think one of your biggest complaints is how video games, you feel like first-person shooters don't innovate. They're one of the few, you know, genres now that we have that don't really innovate a lot.
Well,
so I was reading this article.
They really can't. There's not much new you can do with it.
Right.
I'm not mad at them. You know, make your money.
So I'm reading this article, and, you know, this person is complaining about how, you know, Duke Nukem took, you know, 11 years to come to fruition, and all of its, you know, gameplay is stuck, you know, in the past, you know, 11 years ago. And, you know, the game, while the game looks nice, it just doesn't look, you know, super fantastic and all this. And I got to thinking, since when did we become, as gamers, such stuck up and know-it-alls as gamers? I mean, I feel like, you know, after watching all the videos, I haven't got a chance to play Duke Nukem, but after watching all the videos, I'm excited about Duke Nukem Forever. Why am I excited about it? Because it was, when I was playing, when I was younger and when I was wanting to get into the video game industry, Duke Nukem Forever was like, Duke Nukem was one of those games that, you know, I really enjoyed, and I was anticipating Duke Nukem Forever coming out. And it's almost like, it's almost like a milestone for at least my generation that this game is finally out. It's more than just a video game at this point. It is like a cultural, you know, meme that has become real. And after I was reading this article, and to me, I'm just happy that this game finally got made. Yeah, the game's not going to be fantastic. It's not going to have all the flourish and the polish of these modern FPS games. But I just don't see why IGN has to knock the game for not being original. I mean, do you guys understand that? Does that make sense to you?
Okay, I was ribbing you about this morning, and I'm on the fence. On one hand, I'm thinking, as long as it took, yeah, they should have done something. But on the other hand, it is a nostalgia game. And that's pretty much it. And the only people that need to be excited about it are the people who wanted to play it. I honestly, y'all hear me talk about some things, or especially in the morning when we're reading the news, and there's a new simulator coming out. I'm a fan of simulators, and I know some people are like, why the hell would you want to keep playing all these simulators? How boring. But I find it exciting. I like playing it. That's my favorite genre, and my next one is RPGs. So it has to do with the fans. And sometimes I think, us aside, I think a lot of gaming sites that do reviews have trouble pulling themselves out of the game it is that they're playing, you understand what I'm saying? And do the review based on, is it a good game? Is the point, is it? You know, there should not be anything else involved. Because, you know, I'm not a first-person shooter, you know, type girl, but if I sit down to play Bulletstorm and it's good, I can say it's good. And the first thing I'll say is, it's, you know, this is not a genre that I find appealing. But here are some really good points if you like RPGs. Or not RPGs, but first-person shooters. Maybe you like a magnetic gun tip and it draws stuff to you and you blow it up, or maybe you like being able to shoot the floor and it explodes, but that's what you're supposed to do as a game reviewer. And it has become what you're saying, that we're kind of stuck up in a sense. That's not the word I want to say. Right. No, you said it right, know it all. Well, we can't remove ourselves from, you know, this is not something that we like. Right. But it can be good at the same time. That's part of being pretty much all we are is critics. We keep saying game reviewers. We don't want to use the word critic, but it's the same as a movie critic, a food critic. But that's what we do. And part of doing that is to be able to separate yourself from whether or not it's something that you enjoy and say it's good or it's bad. We do that very well here. That's why we tell you we're not paid. Mm-hmm. There's no paid reviews on Game & Atrix. Nobody came in and paid for an ad. And even if they did, I'm telling you, you're hearing from the horse's mouth, we do not give favorable reviews because they bought ad space. Doesn't happen. So
if you don't believe we give bad reviews, go check the website, GameAndAtrix.com, and look at the reviews we did.
Yeah, it's gotta be a good game. Even the girlfriend game that Snow reviewed, it did not matter that it's kind of misogynistic. It just was boring to play.
Yeah, it really was boring.
And I mean,
the stereotypes were bad, yes, but the main thing for me was that there just wasn't anything there. It wasn't
anything to catch your eye, that the girls were different, the AI stood out. Same with the game Singles. A lot of when I first picked up Singles, I don't think we ever reviewed it, but I did play it. I went around and read reviews from other female gamer sites, and a lot of them were like, "Oh, this is sexist," and that. I said, "Forget the sexist angle. I want to see if it's good. Is it good gameplay mechanics? Is it intuitive?" And the first one was very good, and the subsequent sequels were not so great for AI and stuff. It was very repetitive. So that's where we come from when we do our game reviews. Not to be giving us all these props, but that's
right,
how.
Right, Well, repetitive is bad, but I'm saying, does every game have to innovate? Can a game just do something basic and do it well? Does it have to be innovative?
No. And sometimes it doesn't work. I'm going to give you a perfect example. We are, or I am right now, reviewing The Patrician, and it's a simulator, and it was one that I absolutely adored. You guys have heard me talk about it on the show years ago, and they went back and did some new stuff that is innovative, but I don't like it. I want the old one back. I want the old Patrician back. I'm not feeling this new one with all the trading routes and craziness. So it doesn't have to innovate, but it does have to be good. And I think that's the problem that you said is people are too tight. A lot of them too stuck up. Gamers are stuck up. I want it to innovate. But here's me why I say innovate when I'm teasing you about it is because I'm one of those people where it cannot be repetitive in any I won't say in any form. I'll put it this way. If it's not a genre that I'm specifically interested in, if it's not a simulator, it can't have the repetition because after a while I stop paying attention to the review and I'm like, oh, God, are we doing this again? Is it blowing up again?
Yep.
Okay, and then I can't give you what you need from the review. Maybe there was something else that was happening over to the left that I missed because I'm like, this is doing this again, this same animation, this same explosion, this same music. Ah. So that's why I say I need the innovation. Not so much as every one of them has to. And I did not get to play Duke Nukem, so whatever I played at PAX was actually new to me. But I'm not a fan in that respect. I think I wanted to have some of the dolls. I was trying to steal one from a guy years ago, one of the security guards in the building I worked in. And that's pretty much what I wanted. I knew then it was worth money. And if I could have just flashed in the fluffy a few more times, I had that doll in my grasp. He was offering to give it to me one day. And I was like, oh, you're going to give me your Duke Nukem? That would be so nice. I can't take it. And I said, I got one more day, and I'm going to walk in here and take that bitch. But I didn't get to go back, so...
But so you're not a fan of first person shooters, but I mean these are people who are
not true.
Okay, well,
I'm not the fan of first person shooters. You always get that confused.
Yeah, I just
can't. Corey, you said you weren't the fan. What are you not a fan?
I said I'm tired of Halo specifically.
Okay, well this is not Halo. There's no. In fact, what's really interesting is a lot of first person shooters get dinged a lot for these kind of cliched things like health packs, for instance, or pills, or things like that, or shields, right? They get dinged for having these cliches. Every first-person shooter has that, right? Well, here, this new Duke Nukem game that's coming out, instead of having little health packs to gain health, Duke has to do something that's ego-stroking. He has to sign an autograph or lift some weights, and he'll get some health back because of that. And so this is like something that is kind of off the wall, but kind of, different from all of the first-person shooters, yet, these articles that I'm reading, this game isn't innovative enough. There's no, iron sights are now standard in every first-person shooter. Why doesn't Duke Nukem have that? And, I mean, they're just really dinging this game. I mean, for instance, here's the article, Duke Nukem Forever, irreverent or irrelevant. That's the article for this game that hasn't even hit the shelf yet. And it's saying the whole entire piece here in IGN, if you want to go there and read this, which I don't recommend because it's full of crap, but the whole thing boils down to will Duke Nukem stick to its 1997 roots, or could we see a healthier dose of innovation creep into Duke Nukem Forever? Why does it have to be innovative? Why can't it just be a fun ride? Why can't it just be Duke Nukem, classic Duke Nukem with all his silly one-liners and his over-the-top enemies? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we liked back in the day. I still think that that's something I would like to play today.
Exactly. Look, I'm using other games to relate. The Sims, perfect example. Gamers begged and begged and begged since the first Sims to have a seamless world where we could roam everywhere. And we got to The Sims 3, and it just didn't go over very well. It still doesn't because of the things they had to take out. Sometimes innovation means you lose the other stuff that you love. And, of course, what we lost to Simmers is the ability to fuck with any Sim in the neighborhood you wanted to.
You got to stop that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We need these servers, okay?
Sorry.
In China, free pens to the people.
But the thing is, innovation doesn't always work out well for a game. Sometimes you have to keep what's working. And what worked was when they went from The Sims 1 to 2, obviously the graphical upgrade was amazing. We had all the graphics cards coming out, and you were able to get closer to them and build and do all this greatness. But when they got to 3, they didn't really change anything other than gave you a seamless role, and they took away the biggest thing, your ability to play with all your Sims in the neighborhood. One of the biggest innovations in 2 was the introduction of weather and pets, and they went all out. I mean, there's so much things that they put in, and we lost all of that. And even though Simmers are probably some of the most patient gamers on planet Earth, kid you not, even more...
You have to be to play The Sims.
Yeah, is even more patient than the Fallen Earth guys, even though we've been teasing you guys are a pretty good community. Nobody's really cursed us out or anything, but the Sim people are patient. They wait, because you know when you get the newest, you know, the new game, whenever they come out, whenever The Sims 4 comes out, you know, you get a very stripped-down version. Mm-hmm. People have been waiting... through, I think we're on the third or fourth expansion pack, and none of the stuff has come back. None of it. No weather. There's no pets. There's no college towns. All the stuff that you Simmers know what I'm talking about. You know, you had your college towns, your fraternities, your fraternity pranks, and the bands, and just all the stuff, being a superstar, whatever it was. None of these things have come back, and people are now getting pissed off because they're nearing the end of this Sims 3 cycle where, you know, they're not going to be anymore. And they've just announced another one, but they won't say what it is. I think they're watching to see what everybody's saying. But people are pissed. And the same thing is happening with your Duke Nukem, I'm wagering. When I played it again, I was not a fan back in the day. So I don't have the previous one to compare to. But they're probably, the IGN probably looked at it, and they're thinking, what I said to you this morning in teasing was, oh, it's been 8 years. Why didn't they go all out? But in all honesty, there's not much that hasn't already been done with first-person shooters other than, ironically, Fallen Earth, who took it and dropped it into an MMO. There's really not much else you can do to make it all shiny and new. And it is Duke Nukem. He has his fan base. And some of you just sometimes you just want to play your game just the way it was. It's kind of a nostalgia with a new story. I get what you're saying.
Right.
But IGN is just saying...
Well, I mean, there was an article on Kotaku as well where he was saying that, you know, Duke Nukem doesn't innovate. But it's interesting because halfway through the article he says, you know what, even without that lack of innovation, he said, I find myself really enjoying playing this game. My prediction is when Duke Nukem comes out, despite the naysayers, it's going to be a very well-received game. That is my prediction. Right now, having not even played that, you will see how right I am on this one.
Can I point out a game that was, quote, innovative, but a complete and utter disaster that I'm still pissed off about because it was my birthday present?
Yes, please do. I know what game you're talking about.
You know what game I'm talking about. And if you've listened to the show long enough, you know what game I'm talking about. Final Fantasy XIV, okay? It was this big to-do, new Final Fantasy MMO coming out, and I love Final Fantasy XI, so I was super excited. I got it for my birthday, collector's edition. That shit's expensive, okay? I was so excited. First day I got it, installed. It took forever to install, by the way. Hard as hell to install, but I got it installed, everything downloaded, updated, go to play it, and I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. No idea. So I finally get kind of a hang on what I'm doing, and there's just nothing to it. There's no storyline. There's no gripping. There's no, you know, the quests are, you have no idea what you're doing in the quest. You don't know where to get your next quest. You don't know where these NPCs are. You don't know what the things you're fighting. You don't even know what class you are. Your abilities are a mystery. The UI is clunky. I mean, and the user controls that to control your character, ridiculously clunky. And I was just, everything was supposed to be, quote, innovative, but I'm telling you, it was a complete and utter disaster, and I'm still pissed off about it.
And mine? Ha ha ha. Splinter Cell. as I have now dubbed it, Spying for Dummies. What the hell was going on with Ubisoft with this supposed innovation? And if I'm not mistaken, I read every other review, because we do read other people's sites here just to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. I went and read reviews and watched all the trailers, and they were like, ooh, this Splinter Cell is going to be awesome. It's going to be great. I get into play, and I have arrows showing me where to hide. I have button combos. I no longer have to hide bodies or do any of the things that made Splinter Cell a great, fantastic game. And for the very first time since I have bought a Splinter Cell, I returned that bitch to the store. I don't have it on my shelf. I couldn't stand to look at it. That's how disgusted I was with that game. And Horace is saying in the room, he didn't buy it. They rushed it. It's I don't even think it's a rush, Horace. I think that's where innovation didn't serve them well. Certain things about Splinter Cell didn't need to be changed. If anything, they should have upped the AI. This was a great thing. This always happens. They'll do one, and one is good, and they'll build on it, and you're like, oh, this is excellent. Instead of them taking that same stuff and building on it, they just go change everything. One of the greatest innovations I loved in the Splinter Cell before it was playing multiplayer, and it was voice sensitive. So when you're on Xbox Live and you got your headset on, you're playing with the other, you know, your other characters against the NPCs, if you talked, they could hear you. So you had to whisper to each other even, you go that way, I'm going to go this way. And if they heard you, they'd come to where the noise was. I thought that was amazing. You know, and you could use your voice as part of the play. Like, we'd whistle to get the guy to come to the door so you could, you know, slam it open and knock him down, or get him so you can, you know, grab him or choke him. These are things that made it just a game I would just sit and play weekend after weekend, and it's still on my shelf. I'm keeping it. So this is what I mean when I say sometimes they throw new stuff in. It does not always work. And it may not. It most definitely probably would not have worked with Duke Nukem, because, Ben, you used to keep in mind when you were playing Duke Nukem, you were a kid, and you've grown up. But the people that are coming behind you, they know nothing about Duke Nukem. They've read some stuff, and maybe they played an old one. And this always happens to the younger gamers. This game is stupid. There's no save points. There's no a memory card. Ew, there's no hard drive. So they're not going to be fans. You are. So in this case, it may not serve them well to add a bunch of new crap to it. You're going to love it just the way it is. You might not even like the new things they're putting in. I'm going to go so far as to say that weightlifting stuff may actually annoy you, because it's kind of simish when you said it. That's what I heard.
Well, I mean, you know, that right there is actually quote-unquote innovative, right? And again, you're right. I'm not sure if I'm going to like that much. But I think the game as a whole is going to retain all of the things that I loved about the Duke Nukem series, and it's going to make me feel really good about playing this game. When it kind of boils down to it, you know, some of your favorite games may not be super innovative or whatever. They may not be, like, the most complex things, but you just enjoy playing them because the experience as a whole is awesome, right? And that's what I think Duke Nukem's going to be when it comes out. I mean, I haven't, like I said, I haven't even played the game, but everything that I've seen, everything that I've read about the game, it feels like these people that are you know, entitled, that are snobbish gamers who don't like it, as soon as they start turning their nose up to it, that just signals to me that I'm probably going to love the game. Because I feel like, you know, there's this white-collar versus blue-collar video gamer, you know, video game community, right? I think those are white-collar video gamers, and I'm a blue-collar video game player, and I think I'm going to enjoy this game a lot. And there was one last thing I would like to say to everybody out there who, you know, who thinks that innovation is important and that you just can't make a game that's fun. I just want to say one thing.
I don't know who you are, where you're from, or what you want. But if you threaten my freedom, I'll kill you.
That's all I want to say.
No, sir. I told you, I'm not arguing for the innovation or not. I just think this is one time when you're going to have to wait, and I hope you don't have the same experience I had with Splinter Cell. Because y'all know how much I love Splinter Cell, and it was horrible. Horrible. I cannot stress how horrible it is with the word horrible.
Right. Just don't innovate too much, Gearbox. Just keep it the way it was. Don't innovate. Please don't innovate. I'm begging you.
You already have some sim in your Duke Nukem. It's already gone slightly awry. I don't think that having to do something to get health back, the signing autographs, it's either going to get very repetitive. Hopefully it'll be different. I don't know. You'll see.
I mean, I've seen some screenshots where there's like a little boy there with his dad, and Duke's signing a book that says like "Why I'm Great" by Duke Nukem, and he's got this pen that's got like a naked lady on it. I mean, it's just perfect Duke Nukem, right? And so like that's what he's doing to gain health. I think that's hilarious. It's not only is it funny, but it just plays to his super ego, right?
Now, see, my question would be, after the 60th time you've seen him do that exact same thing, it's the exact same boy, the exact same dad.
If it's the exact same boy, exact same dad, and exact same book, that could be annoying. But if there's, like, if that's just one of, like, many examples, like, of what he could do, like they said, he could lift heavy weights or, like, you know, compliment himself or whatever the different things that he can do to gain health, I think that's kind of funny.
Now,
depends on how they mix it up.
Issa in the chat room hit the nail on the head. This is a problem not with just games, but movies. She said, if games want to be innovative, why don't they start some new franchises instead of messing with old ones? That is the same problem with movies, with everything, TV shows. If you look through the fall lineup or the summer lineup, they're redoing Wonder Woman, Batman. We're getting more sim games where they try to branch off and do something stupid with the franchise. The Batman game wasn't horrible. They've done several Superman games. All of them have
awesome.
flapped. They flopped. I don't know what's going on with Hollywood and with the gaming industry, where they just They can't come up with anything new. And the bad part is what Blaster's talking about with some of the gamers being snobs. Sometimes when they do come up with a new franchise, the players kill it before they get a chance. Prime example for me was, what's that football game? I never can remember the name of it. Blitz the League, after EA decided to, you know, do that whole kibosh on the NFL and say only we can make football games. Blitz the League came out, and I absolutely loved it, but players didn't want to, you know, gamers didn't want to play it, saying, well, it's not Madden. It's not real football. Of course it's not. It's an RPG football game, and it's hilarious, the stuff that's going on in there. I love it. The storyline had me cracking up laughing. You know, my football players are going to pimps and taking drugs. It's more realistic than Madden ever was for me anyway.
Right.
I loved it. But the players didn't want to play it until Part 2 came out. Then it was like, this game's funny. I told you it was funny. So, anyway.
And I have been talking for the last, like, 5 minutes on mute. And I could not figure out why you were not responding. And I was like, well, fine. Ignore me then. Fine. And I was like, oh,
you're
I'm
muted,
on
baby.
Mute.
You're muted, baby.
I'm sorry. Anyway, what I was going to say is the
everybody knows you never go full mute.
Oh, Lord.
I will hurt you. What I was going to say is, I forgot. Thanks, Blaster.
I'm sorry. It's about movie franchises.
I don't remember. Never mind. I'm going back on mute.
Sorry.
Well, supposedly, look, and I'm having a conversation with Issa. Supposedly, she's saying, why can't they stop with the game and, you know, go out on top with instead of doing a sequel? That's what Halo's doing, but for some reason we keep getting another one. The last one, when they did, was it Halo 3? This is the last Halo. Okay, Reach.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Wait, we have this. What was the other one they came out with? Oh, gosh.
ODST?
Yes, ODST. Let's do ODST. No, you said 3 was it. I'm not buying these next two because...
Well, no, what happened with ODST is they were in the middle of making Reach, and Microsoft came to them and said, hey, we don't want to wait for Reach. We want another Halo game very soon. And so they said, so they got a smaller dev team, and they put them on Halo ODST, which a lot of people hated, by the way. I did not dislike ODST, but I didn't like ODST. It was like sort of like it felt kind of like Halo, but then it totally didn't feel like Halo. And so ODST was like a half game that was kind of it was more like a Halo abortion that happened in between Halo,
oh God,
you know, 3 and Halo Reach, right? So
let
I'm just saying
you, the only game that can pull off a sequel and it's bigger and better than the previous one, GTA. That's it. The rest of them gotta go. It's time for us to go because we gotta go.
Speaking of going, right?
Yeah. Those of you who have Fallen Earth and are listening live, we're going in. I think there's a race or something going on. We're giving away some junk.
We don't know what we're doing, but we're gonna be there. We're gonna give away some swag. Embry Crossroads, make your way over there.
I'm not in Embry. I'm on my way to Oilville.
You need to ask Embry because that's where the shit's going down.
I got some stuff to do in Oilville. So those of you who don't have Fallen Earth, start your download now. Tomorrow we start our official Valentine's Day event, and we do still have tons of pink rocket launchers to give away in game and full copies of game. So if you have a trial, and don't worry if you get hooked, because we're going to pop you.
And please be patient if you're waiting for your keys for old Betsy. I swear it's coming. We are working hard as hell. Look at all, sucker.
It's my time, shit. Oh, God. Happy Thursday.
Yeah.
You know you should have put a couple of women in the desert for Dennis.
Stand up. Fall down. Stand up. Yeah, that's right. Fall down.
How am I dancing?
I don't know, dude. I am too.
Stand up. Hell yeah. Fall down. Stand up. All right. Fall down. To the left. To the right. To the left.
Yeah, that's right.
To the right. What's up, lady? Gonna freak you on. Stay cool, baby.
Like they're gonna freak you on.
Bring it on. now, fucker.
I made the song, baby. Oh, yeah. I got enough for all of y'all. Ain't enough freaks to stop this man. Here comes the boy.
I see some ears.
Did you say Pagal?
Pagal! I can do that all night long!